Good evening, everybody. We're watching America First. My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes. We have a great show for you tonight. Very excited to be back with you here tonight on Friday. And thank God it's Friday. Am I right? It's been a bit of a long week watching the global pandemic, watching the coronavirus in China, and that'll be our featured story tonight as well. But thank God it's Friday. We're going to have a very low-key, casual, and relaxed episode of America First tonight. It is, of course, Casual Friday once again, and you know this because I am not wearing a necktie, because you can see by the absence of the necktie on my person that it's going to be a casual show, very much like how my shirt is unbuttoned. That will be the atmosphere of our content tonight. And there is much to discuss. Of course, we are continuing the saga with the coronavirus covering what is happening in China, and now all over the world, global pandemic spreading rapidly, global pandemic imminent, deadly global virus spreading like wildfire, thousands dead, question mark? No, it's not that severe, but we are talking a little bit about the virus. It has spread to more places. First cases have been reported in France now, and there has also been another case reported in Chicago, which is quite disturbing. There is also a report that they are building a new hospital in Wuhan, China. Brand new hospital. They're going to build it in 6 days just to accommodate people with this virus. And, you know, the more that we hear about this thing, the more I'm beginning to suspect that perhaps the Chinese are not telling us everything they know about what's happening. Right? Because all the reports that we're hearing from inside China and around the world, it's like, medical supplies flying off the shelves, 40 million people quarantined, 15 cities on lockdown. They're building a new hospital in 6 days just to accommodate. It is now all over Asia. It is now in Europe and the United States. They're saying, well, I think there's like 1,000 cases. I think like 10 people have died. Well, I don't. It seems to me like that would be a bit of a disproportionate response if it was only the 1,200 or so people that they are saying are affected. So we're going to dive into all that. We'll be looking at all the latest, all the updates on this. I'll give you our pandemic watch. My my doctor costume came in this morning. I would be wearing it right now, but it's wrinkled. But it is wrinkled. So I can't be looking like an unprofessional doctor. You know, when Dr. Nick makes his debut, we've got to be looking crisp. We ought to be looking crisp and iron. So we might have to save that for next week. But we're going to be talking about that. That'll be our featured story. We will also be talking tonight about this new regulation that has been put out by Goldman Sachs this time. Usually we're talking about new regulations from the Trump administration. Not today. Tonight we are talking about a new guideline that has been issued by Goldman Sachs. Get this. It says that they will not bring a company or anything like that public. They will not issue an IPO to a new company. I don't know how this finance stuff works, so you have to bear with me. They will not issue new IPOs. They will not bring companies public if they do not have at least one person on the board of directors who is a woman or a person of color, which is amazing. This is from Goldman Sachs. This is not BuzzFeed, Salon, Slate. This is not some kind of NGO. This is not the ADL. It is Goldman Sachs that says now that they will no longer take a company public if they do not have at least one board member that is not a white male. You know, it's fascinating even how the language is so thoroughly programmed. What they say is, we will not take a company public if they don't have at least one diverse board member. But what does that mean? What it means is not a man, not white, not, and there's another iteration of this for next year, which we'll get to when we talk about this, not straight either, not heterosexual. So, you know, they say diverse, but does anybody doubt for one moment that if a company had a board of all black women and not a single man, not a single white person, Asian, Hispanic, whatever, but it was all black women, does anybody doubt for one second that they would have no problem being brought public, right? Being given an IPO? Does anybody seriously think that they would be denied? Because the definition of diversity, last time I checked, is diverse, heterogeneous, lots of different kinds of people, not a specific kind of thing. So anyway, we'll get into all of that, but I just find it amazing how the language works. They say, well, we will not, unless you have a diverse member. Well, well, what if it's all black men? Are you going to have a problem with that? I don't think so. So we'll talk about that, and it should be a pretty good show. I think there's a lot of interesting things within that that we could talk about. And then we'll have our update on the pandemic. So it's good stuff. So thank God it's Friday. Just a reminder, and this is the last time I'm going to do this because I think everybody's used to it by now, but it's our first week trying out Entropy. So if you're on YouTube and you want to do a super chat, we don't have super chats anymore because I got demonetized. So the way you do it now, if you're watching on YouTube, is through Entropy. And the link, again, which I'll give you right now, is entropystream.live/app/America First. And I know maybe I've been bugging you with that a little bit. I hate that aspect of doing political content that you have to say the same thing every day, you know, when it's a new link or it's the email list or whatever. But, you know, we have to do it. I have to stay in business. We don't do ads. We don't do anything like that. So, you know, I'll take saying for 10 seconds every show, hey, reminder, here's this link, over, you know, having to do a 45-second ad read for buy gold and life insurance and ZipRecruiter and all this, all these other hoops we have to jump through. So, you know, I don't love it, but, you know, just a reminder that that is there. We are on DLive and YouTube at this point. I'm telling you, I prefer that you watch on DLive. You can tip right through the site on DLive, but if you're watching on YouTube, you can watch there if you prefer YouTube, if you have a YouTube account. And we still do have a super chat option, just have to go through the link, which is also in the description. If you miss it in the live chat, it's right at the top. So with that out of the way, I don't really have any like anecdotes for you today. I don't really have anything for you. You know, I had a pretty slow day over here in the studio. My sleep schedule, I've been trying to get it back together. Lately, it's been a mess. And so I tried to get to bed a little bit earlier last night. And I have to say, it was one of the, I don't know if you guys ever experienced this, but when you're not fully asleep and so you feel conscious the whole time, does anybody know what I'm talking about? If you're not like completely tired, if you're having trouble falling asleep, you know, sometimes I just get in this like in the middle place where I feel conscious, but I know that I'm not. You know what I mean? Like later on, you're like, oh, I don't remember, you know, being awake for 7 hours, so I must have been sleeping, even if it doesn't feel that way. And so I woke up today just like completely disoriented, just feeling very strange, and it really just messed up my whole mojo for the rest of the morning and afternoon. I've been kind of in a rut all day, so kind of a slow day. Normally, I've got a story for you. I've got something to tell you. I will say this is pretty funny. The other day, this is amazing. I get an email from my bank. This is totally unrelated, but it's a casual Friday story. I'm sure you'll enjoy this. It's a classic story. You're gonna love it. The other day, I pull an all-nighter so I can reset my sleep schedule. This was yesterday. So I'm up all throughout the night, all throughout the morning, and I get an email very late at night from my bank. And the bank says, hey, you should schedule a meeting with our financial advisors to like figure out what you want to do for 2020. And I'm like, you know, I got to be awake for the next 15 hours. What the hell? I might as well be productive. So I go through the app. I schedule this little meeting. You know, they pick a time, whatever. So I schedule the earliest time. It's 9:30. I'm like, okay, I'm feeling good about myself. I'm being productive. I made a few phone calls. I did some things. Now I'm going to go meet with the bank. You know, they just send you these emails, these throwaway things. I'm sure it's just to get you to walk through the door. So anyway, I go outside. There's snow everywhere. Okay, it's like a terrible day to drive. I clear all the snow off my car. It takes me like 20 minutes to have the windshield heat up and clear the snow off. And I'm driving there. The road conditions are terrible. It's slippery. My car's rear wheel drive, so it has trouble. I catch a train on the way there. I'm like slamming on the steering wheel. I get in and the girl tells me, oh, our financial advisor's not here. So thanks for coming in. So yesterday I'm like staying up all night, bad enough that I'm exhausted, haven't eaten, whatever, drive through the snow, clear off the car, catch a train, go to the bank for this meeting that they invited me to. And then they go, oh yeah, go home. Guy's not in. She goes, I don't know where he is. He's supposed to be here, but he's not. Okay, well, that's really great. So I literally sit down, get up, leave. And then I'm like, well, I'm already out. I'll stop at the post office. I needed to pick up an envelope. I need to mail a package. So I'm like, okay, I'll stop at the post office. I buy an envelope. I come home. Envelope is too small. So, you know, I know it's not like an amazing story, but It's just one of those days. It's one of these weeks where it's like the whole purpose that I go out, I go out in the snow. I have no intention of doing that. And it's like both errands are a waste. I have to go back to the bank next week and I have to go back to the post office to get another envelope. So it's like, it's just one of those weeks. So I'm really feeling the thank God it's Friday energy. I don't know if you can relate. That's not a very interesting story, but maybe you're on the same wavelength. Maybe you're on the same energy with me here tonight on Friday. But with that out of the way, I know that's a very pressing matter. We're going to dive into the news here. I've been just itching to talk about what's happening with Goldman Sachs. You know, sometimes I have to tell you, I've fallen into this trap of being like a despair merchant, so to speak. I don't think I'm a despair merchant. I don't think I tell people to despair or anything like that. You know, generally, I'm a pretty cheerful guy on the show, and I like to keep it lighthearted and funny most of the time. But I do feel like when I see things going south, you know, and I see the media say something retarded again, or Hollywood comes up with another gay movie or whatever, there's almost something inside of me that's like, oh, yes, 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 this is perfect. This is delicious. This is great for my show, you know? So, like, I see this Goldman Sachs thing where they're like, you know, Goldman Sachs, one of the biggest financial institutions on planet Earth, says we will not bring a company public unless there's no white men. On the one hand, I'm like, ah, oh, gee, this is crazy. But another part of me is like, mwah, mwah, yeah, yeah, that's just what we need. That plays right into the show. Perfect, right? Locked and loaded. You know, I put it in my bookmarks on Twitter. There it is, you know? So, I don't know if you feel similarly. For a long time, I was like, oh, clown world. This clown world, can it get any crazier? And now I'm just like, I'm rooting for it to get crazier. I don't know. There's something satisfying about it, something vindicating about all of it. But anyway, I'll read you the news report. You know, the gist of it is that Goldman Sachs says they're not going to bring a company public if there's not one diverse person on their board. So this is from Bloomberg. It says, Goldman Sachs Group, Inc. Chief Executive Officer David Solomon, interesting name there, David Solomon, issued the latest ultimatum Thursday from Davos. Wall Street's biggest underwriter of initial public offerings in the U.S. will no longer take a company public in the U.S. and Europe if it lacks a director who is either female or diverse. They don't have a board of directors member who is either a female or, and this is from the article, diverse, not white. Asia is not yet included in the firm's new policy, which is, makes it think. It says the mandate is the latest in a series of signals that non-diverse boards and management are unacceptable. BlackRock, Inc. and State Street Global Advisors are voting against directors of companies without a female director. Public companies with all-male boards based in California now face a $100,000 fine under a new state law. According to Fred Folks, who is a management professor at BU's Questrom School of Business, Boston University, I used to go there, he said about this, quote, it's what big investors are looking for these days. If the board has all white males, that's a big negative. Big negative. Goldman Sachs acknowledged that diversity has other meanings around the world, including in Asia, where racial dynamics are different and gender disparities are sometimes even more glaring. The company said in a statement Friday that it intends to eventually expand its board diversity mandate beyond the U.S. and Europe. So if you didn't catch that, for now, only in America and Europe, in other words, only in the white countries do you have this mandate. Nowhere else. Not in Latin America, not in Asia. And it's like, you know, Asia's pretty established at this point, okay? Asia's pretty developed. Maybe there should be some expectations. But no, it is only for the white countries that a mandate comes down from Goldman Sachs, one of the largest financial institutions, most prestigious in the world, that says we will penalize all white, all male company boards. By the way, only applies to Europe and America. Don't you find that interesting? It says the corporate board has become a rare bright spot for gender and racial diversity at the highest echelons of corporate America. Almost half of the open spots at S&P 500 companies went to women last year. And for the first time, they made up more than a quarter of all directors. In July, the last all-male board in the S&P 500 appointed a woman. Well, hey, thank God for that. Still, new boards are less diverse. Among the top 25 IPOs by value each year from 2014 through 2018, 10 companies had no female directors. Last year, Goldman Sachs was hired to underwrite WeWork's IPO, which only added a female director after its initial prospectus. That's what it says here. I don't know if that just means prospects. Prompted criticism of its all-male board. Starting on July 1st in the U.S. and Europe, we're not going to take a company public unless there's at least one diverse board candidate with a focus on women, said David Solomon of Goldman Sachs. He did not mention Asia, which continues to lag behind other regions when it comes to board diversity. And here's where it gets better. It says, next year, the bank will raise the threshold to two diverse directors, which includes diversity based on sexual orientation and gender identity, said Goldman Sachs. The bank said the decision came after it learned more than 60 U.S. and European companies in the last 2 years went public without a woman or person of color on the board. Goldman Sachs has 4 women on its 11-member board. So, you know, there is so much here to dissect. There is so much here which is symptomatic of what's happening in the world. The first is, to me, the most obvious, which I mentioned earlier about the language scheme, which is when it comes to diversity, it might be a subtle thing. And for many people who watch this show, probably it's something you already know, but can't be said enough that when they say diverse, what they mean is not white. And I know that's not a groundbreaking take. If you watch this show, if you're in these circles on Twitter or watch this variety of content, you know that. But it's not unimportant. It's not a trivial thing that the mantra of the world, but more particularly of our country and of white countries, is diversity is the strength. Diversity is what makes us strong. And what they mean is non-white people make us strong. That's what they're saying. They're saying we need non-white people to replace white people. That's all that means. When they're saying there's too many white people on boards, what do you think is the end goal of making a rule like this? It's they want white board members to get fired and non-white board members to get hired. They want white people to be replaced with non-white people. Is that like a difficult concept? Is that like challenging? Is that a conspiracy theory? Because to me, it seems like that is necessarily what they're talking about. Well, we need more diversity. What does that mean? It means we need to dilute the presence and the influence of white people with the presence of non-white people. Diversity is our strength. Non-white people are our strength. White people are our weakness. That is what they are communicating. Because like I said earlier, if you had a board that was all women, they wouldn't have a problem with that. You know, diversity does not mean lots of different kinds of people with different viewpoints, and we value men's viewpoints and women's viewpoints and white people's viewpoints and black people's viewpoints. Diversity means we want less white men, we want more non-white people, and we want more women. And so if you had another board that was all one kind of person, they wouldn't care so long as that kind of person was not white. And, you know, this leads into the much bigger idea. We all know about diversity at this point. We all know it means more non-white people and less white people. And by the way, why the hell would that be a good thing? Look at all the non-white countries. Look at all the white countries. Why is it a foregone conclusion that bringing in people from countries that fail, that suck, is our strength? It's going to make us better. Like, we get all that, right? But to me, perhaps the bigger idea at play is about our system, about the institutions. Because the prevailing narrative for 20 years, probably longer, but probably in the mainstream for at least the last 15 years, has been that the system favors white people. That there are systemic or systematic advantages in America and in the world for white men. And clearly, all evidence suggests the exact opposite. The only systemic, the only systematic biases in favor of a race or a gender are opposed to white people and opposed to men. We talk about affirmative action. We talk about all these programs. Look at welfare. Look at public services. Are these programs that disproportionately benefit white people or blacks and Hispanics, right? Or single moms? And the same is true here. When you're looking at corporate welfare or you're looking at all these other rules, when you look at HR departments, diversity mandates, clearly, who is that intended to benefit? And then because there is only a finite number of companies, jobs, boards, promotions, and so on, who do these benefits, when these benefits accrue to non-whites, who do they necessarily come at the expense of? who necessarily pays the price for affirmative action and diversity programs and all this? White men. So we're told all day long that, you know, well, the reason that non-white people are failing in America and failing badly, the reason that women are failing, the reason these disparities exist internationally and domestically, well, it's because of these systemic advantages, because white people are still writing the rules in government, and white people are still writing the rules in businesses, and white people are still setting up the system. Well, you wouldn't guess that by any of the policies that are implemented, because at the governmental level, in the public sector, and in the private sector, every policy that is race or gender based is designed to benefit non-whites and women and designed to hurt white people and men. It's as simple as that. And, you know, again, none of this is really new. We've been watching this happen for a long time. In fact, if you're looking at the corporate world, you could go back 40 years and find the same stuff. You could go back to the 1980s and find the same trend of white men being passed over for promotions in favor of women and non-whites. This has been in the works forever. So I know it's not exactly new, but it's yet another example. If you need any more ammunition, when people tell us about, you know, America benefits white people and America's about white people and so on, you know, here's just yet another example. I will also add, here's another dimension to this, about how curiously Asia is excluded. That's a very important thing to notice, because I find that whenever we talk about these global initiatives to save the world and make the world, you know, progressive and so on, when it comes to equality, when it comes to climate, when it comes to anything, it seems like the only countries that have responsibility are the white ones. When it comes to taking care of refugees and the world's poor, it's only white countries. It's not Israel. It's not Saudi Arabia. It's not China. It's us. When it comes to climate, well, it's not on all these other countries that just like dump shit in their rivers or bodies or pollutants or whatever else. It's not these countries where they have no fuel emission standards. It's only Europe and America. When it comes to diversity in finance, Asia curiously is excluded. Japan, China, these are huge economies established, and they've been that way for decades. For some reason, they don't have to play by the same rules. They say eventually we'll get to that with Asia, but imminently and right now it's going to apply to the United States and Europe. Even though on every one of those issues, we're the most so-called progressive out of all of them. And I'm using that word very subjectively. When it comes to climate, the biggest polluters are China, India, Africa. You know, take a look at any country in the world that is not a white country and look at the sanitation, the hygiene, the pollution. We're the best in the world when it comes to that. When it comes to equality, you know, and again, when I say progress, this is very subjective. I'm not saying this is good, but I'm saying according to the standards of progress set by the United Nations and the elites and so on, who is doing better in terms of racial equality for racial and ethnic minorities or religious minorities or women than the United States and Europe? Nobody else comes close when it comes to anything like this. But yet we're the only ones that have to do more, and it's more scrutiny and it's more lectures from, you know, frankly, like Jews and women at Davos and the World Economic Forum and whatever, wagging their fingers in our faces saying, you need to do better. You know, these white countries need more blacks. These European countries, these white countries, they need more immigrants. They need more women in charge. They need more job-killing regulations. They need more global government and oversight. They need more X, Y, and Z. And all these other countries, it's like a free-for-all. It's like a free-for-all. You know, just take a look at what we're about to talk about with China and this coronavirus, right? So I find that to be incredible. And of course, the reason is because they are trying to destroy our civilization. That's the end game, period. It is only white countries that are subjected to all of this madness. Every other country is celebrated and fine and they get a pass. It's only us. That's why we should have to just flip the finger when it comes to this kind of stuff. You know, none of this should apply to us if it doesn't apply to everybody. And it shouldn't apply to anybody for that matter. You know, another thing to think about, and this is maybe the last dimension of this that I like to think about, is if men and women are so equal, do you see where I'm going with this? If men and women are so equal, if women are so vital to the maintenance of a company or a country for that matter, why do you need to force them, in the case of California with fines and other penalties, Why does a company like Goldman Sachs have to dictate these kinds of regulations to force companies to put them in charge? Does that make any sense? Because all that we're told all day long is that women and men are equal and women are the best and they're so smart. And if women were just in charge, the world would be a better place. It's like, wow. Well, if I were starting a company, women are like oil. They're like gold. I want to get on the ground floor of women. You're telling me you've got this human capital resource, you've got this human resource that is better than the rest of the workforce combined that nobody will tap into because of irrational prejudice? Hey, sign me up. I want all women in my company. I want the whole company to be women. Well, you know, if that were the case, that would be the mentality. You'd have companies rising to the top, exploding in a good way because they'd be hiring all women. So why is it then that all the best and brightest minds from all the best business schools in the world, the most competitive managers, the most competitive owners, the most competitive business people, sharks, why did they just not see the value in bringing women aboard the team, putting them in the manager positions? Why do they have to be forced at the point of penalties, fines, ultimatums from financial institutions? It's because they don't belong there. It's because they don't belong there, obviously. Obviously, these companies will do anything. They will destroy their hometowns. They will pollute rivers, oceans, the air. They will employ children in sweatshops. They will compromise on health standards. They'll put lead paint in children's toys. These are the kinds of people we're talking about. And we're supposed to believe that if there was money on the table in hiring women, they would turn it away because they were just that prejudiced. Seriously? These people are going to like dump asbestos in the rivers. They're going to pollute the water supply. They will do anything to save a quick buck, to save a penny. But you're supposed to believe there's all this money on the table with women who are working cheaper than men and they're better than men and so on. And they're going to leave that on the table. They're going to say, nope. I would rather pay more for men because I just hate them so much because I'm just so full of animus towards the female sex. No, of course not. It's because they are not competent. And you know, this is something which I read a very good article about this in Daily Wire, I think it was recently. It's something I've been thinking about for a long time. The only time that you see this archetype of a boss-ass woman who, you know, she's got the world by the balls and she's just going out and making a difference and she's going to make everyone listen. She's got something to say. The only place you see this is in fiction. That's the only place you'll see that. And I saw that article in Daily Wire, but I had been thinking about this for a long time. You know, when you watch all these trailers for movies, it's always the same thing. It's always, you know, here's this woman and she's got this charisma. She's this wild card, so unpredictable. She's got that spark that people just don't understand. She's a real wallflower and she's going to show these men who's boss. That's all the movies nowadays, you know, whether it's period piece, action movie, whatever, you know, it's Little Women or it's Ghostbusters, whatever. Superhero movie, that's always the theme. And people have been programmed because of decades of advertisements, television shows, and movies to believe that this has any basis in reality. But we all know that it doesn't. But we all know that the idea of like female competence on that level, that this kind of like creativity, this like innovation, initiative, leadership, this will to power, it's like biologically not there. You know, I remember being in like high school and you see how women freak out about like school projects. You know, you see that women are reduced to tears because they like can't finish their homework on time, right? You see women are reduced to tears like on a monthly basis just on account of. You see women reduced to tears and stress and drama and everything else over the slightest provocations or the slightest obstacles. And we're so supposed to believe that some boss-ass woman is going to become the president and she's going to do it better than all the men. She's going to prove the whole world wrong. Literally, when has that ever happened? When have you ever seen that? You know, so it's insane to me that now we're going to rework the whole economy. We're going to turn the whole country upside down to accommodate this fiction, this myth. It's like an archetype. It's a film trope. No basis anywhere else. And it's complete madness. It is complete madness. So I see this, and on every level, you see where we're headed. On every level, you see the problems. You see the seeds of what's happening in modern society. A good friend of mine told me recently that I think for the first time this year, there's actually more women employed than men, period. More women working jobs than men, period. And I just, on the gender question, it's so critical. The empowerment of women is probably the greatest disaster in human history. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm not memeing. I'm not. You know, you look at how our society has become feminized completely. And I, by the way, when I say feminized, I'm not trying to be like some boomer, like, nah, these soy boys, man, these millennials are pussies. I don't mean it like that. Well, it's the pussification of America, am I right? It's like, not even so much that. I mean, that, don't get me wrong, that's happening. But what I'm talking about is the emasculation of society, the elimination of all masculine virtues. If you think about how our society is being restructured in education and in work, in the economy, it's all built to accommodate females. It's all built to accommodate feminine traits. You know, specifically if you're looking at the workforce, if you're looking at the modern workforce, the jobs that are available now, what do they reward? They reward like compliance, submission. They reward these sort of trivial tasks, menial tasks. They reward people that are agreeable, people that get along, empathy, things like this. They do not reward competition, aggression, these kinds of things. They reward all the opposite. In this modern managerial, technological, industrial system, the only people that can get ahead are women. And it goes all the way from school through to the workforce. You know, school more than anything. How are our children being socialized? When you look at what children are being taught in schools, not even so much in terms of curriculum, but how they're being socialized, how they're being taught to get along in the modern world. They're being taught to act like women. You know, boys are not taught to, you know, have these sort of fraternal relationships with each other and be competitive and take it to the limit and all, and take risks and be reckless and all this sort of let boys be boys idea. Instead, they're reprimanded for all of the above. And as a consequence, who excels in the schools? It's girls. Girls are going to sit politely and quietly and wait their turn and raise their hand, and they will comply and they will do their tasks, do their homework, write in the dotted line and so on, and fill out the paperwork when they get to college and get through that. And then they get into a managerial role, answering phones or doing sales or whatever. And so the whole system rewards these female virtues. And even as far as consumption goes, to me, this is like the biggest red pill of all. Women are like the biggest consumers. When you look at like makeup, cosmetics, all kinds of things, women more than anybody buy. They buy and they slave. And that is why the world is being turned into this. You know, the slave class is coming not simply from the third world, but it's also coming from the other gender. They are the perfect, in a way, slave class. They're the most easily manipulated. They're the ones who will be docile and go to their jobs and agreeable and all that. And they will be the ones who will shell out the money for countless products. They are the perfect archetype of a global citizen in the managerial state. So when you see things like this from Goldman Sachs, it's not so simple as like this, you know, gender pay gap isn't real and, you know, women should be treated the same as men. It's like, no, all this stuff has to be burnt to the ground, has to stop. You know, maybe if women want to answer phones and things like that, by all means, but like women being put in charge of boards and Congress women and all this through the school system, it's all being built to accommodate them. It's a grave mistake on a fundamental level based on a complete misunderstanding. I don't think it's a misunderstanding for, you know, people at the top, but based on a rewriting, a total reworking of biological mandates of how gender exists. So I see this with Goldman Sachs. You know, they're saying, we're going to put these women in charge of all the boards. This is symptomatic of maybe the biggest thing that's going wrong in the country, which is the empowerment of women and the empowerment of female virtues, female characteristics at the expense of men in the workforce and all their characteristics and values. So that's what's happening with Goldman Sachs. You know, like I said, I see a story like that and I just have to sort of rub my hands together. I'm giddy. I'm gleeful. You know, they are revealing themselves once again, the eternal woman, the perfidious female. But we're going to move on. We're going to talk about this coronavirus give you a little bit of an update on this. You know, I know we've been talking about it all week, but it's like this is what has people glued to their screen. People are scared out there. They're nervous. They're wondering what's going to happen. So we have to cover it. We have to cover this ongoing saga with China. We don't have a ton of new information about this. You know, we covered this yesterday, and I believe we covered it on Tuesday. Basically, you've got this coronavirus. This is a family of pneumonia-like viruses that has originated in Wuhan, China. They speculate that it originated at some livestock market in Wuhan, where they're serving all kinds of bush meat, exotic meats, things like bats, snakes, wolves, crocodiles, all kinds of weird stuff with very bad health regulations. I mean, like non-existent health regulations. So I think it came from one of these livestock markets. It was transmitted from some kind of an animal, maybe a wolf, maybe a snake or a bat, to a human. Now the disease, they believe, is transmittable between humans. And so it's spreading at a pretty alarming rate. They have now quarantined 40 million people in China. This is up from 25 yesterday. We had a report that said 25 million people in China were quarantined. It was four cities had a complete quarantine. Three more had a partial quarantine for a total of 25 million people. Numbers up to 40 million. Many more cities have been included. The disease is now spread across the world. It's in Japan, Macau, Hong Kong, Thailand, Vietnam, Singapore, the United States, Saudi Arabia, and now France. This is the latest development. They don't know what the mortality rate is like. They don't know what the survivorship looks like. You know, what percentage of people are dying from this. They say, though, that mainly the people that are dying from this are between the ages of like 50 and 80 and people that have pre-existing conditions. But nevertheless, many experts are saying that it's already out there. There's no containing it at this point. But we'll read the latest on the virus. There's a little bit more information. This is from BBC. It says, quote, health officials in China say a coronavirus has killed 15 more people in the province of Hubei, where the outbreak first started. There are currently 1,287 confirmed cases in China, 41 of whom have died. It comes as China begins celebrations of the Lunar New Year, one of the most important dates on the calendar. Many events have been canceled, and a new hospital is being built in the city of Wuhan. The virus has now spread to Europe, with three cases confirmed in France. The first case was in Bordeaux, while the other two were in the Paris area, according to the French health minister. Chinese media outlets said that the new 1,000-bed hospital that they're currently building could be ready within 6 days. A total of 35 diggers, and 10 bulldozers are currently working on the site. I assume diggers, you know, people that are, you know, digging out the site. The project will solve the shortage of existing medical resources and would be built fast and not cost much because it will be from prefabricated buildings, according to a Chinese source. Pharmacies in Wuhan have begun to run out of supplies, and hospitals have been filled with nervous members of the public. French Health Minister Agnès Buzyn said one of the French cases, a 48-year-old man of Chinese origin who had been visiting in Wuhan, had been hospitalized in Bordeaux. Little was known about the second case in hospital in Paris, except that the patient had been traveling in China. It was likely that other cases would occur in Europe. She confirmed a third case in Paris later in the evening, and then earlier on Friday, another case was confirmed in Chicago, which would be the second in the United States. Singapore confirmed its third case. Nepal recorded its first case on the same day. Thailand has five cases. Japan, Vietnam, and South Korea have two each, and there is one in Taiwan. So the update today is basically that this thing is spreading rapidly, and also that the Chinese are panicking, you know? And I said this from the outset, I seriously doubt that there are 1,300 people with this virus in the entire country of China. Why would they be building a 1,000-bed hospital, brand new, in 6 days, in Wuhan, if there were 1,200 cases in total in the entire country of China? It doesn't add up to me. They're saying that these pharmaceutical supplies, medical supplies, are flying off the shelves. Same with food. They're quarantining 40 million people. It's now spread to something like a dozen countries, and they're telling us that in a country of 1.5 billion people, in a city of 10 million, there's, what, 1,400 cases in the entire country, and this warrants all the panic, this warrants the extreme measures that are being taken. Now, again, I'm not an epidemiologist, I'm not an expert when it comes to the spread of diseases and viruses like this or anything like that, but it strikes me as a bit of an overreaction if the epidemic is only at the extent that they're saying that it is. You know, I imagine, and other people are speculating, that it's probably much worse than they're letting on. And we don't know what the mortality rate is still. We don't even know what the vector is in terms of, you know, how many people are infected for every one infected person there is. You know, there have been some unconfirmed reports. I've been seeing a lot of stuff on like 4chan and on Twitter. You know, people are saying that for every one person, 14 people get infected. There was one very funny, interesting post on poll that said that this was a bioweapon that was leaked. You know, I think that's probably a little bit fanciful. Maybe that's the stuff of science fiction, but nevertheless, or conspiratorial or lacks evidence, but it's definitely possible. But nevertheless, probably the extent of this pandemic or epidemic is much greater than they're saying. And I have to say, what is fascinating about all of this, on the one hand, we have to look at China and say, of course it would originate in China. You know, I was watching this video today about, what do they call this, sewer oil? Have you heard about this? This is unrelated, but this was from a few years ago. They did a documentary where they talked about how it's a very common practice in China where people go out into the sewers. They will take these giant shovels or spoons, I guess you could say. They will open up manhole covers and shovel sewage straight from the sewer into buckets and barrels. And they will take this sewage, combine it with other organic materials, animal fat, things like that, blend it all together, and they will sell that to restaurants to use as cooking oil. Of course, it's very popular in China. The most popular method of cooking food is like stir fry, and you know that has them cooking in these oils all day, meat, vegetables, whatever. So if you have these restaurants that are on a budget that are trying to make ends meet, they say that the profit margin is so good by buying this cooking oil literally made from sewage. You know, they take it straight out of the sewer and turn it into cooking oil. They estimate that 10% of Chinese food is made using this sewage cooking oil. So, of course, it would come out of a country like China. Of course, when you've got practices like this and you looked at this open market, it's filth. It's people with these improvised cutting boards on top of barrels covered in blood, people that aren't washing their hands, people that aren't using gloves. You know, it's completely unsanitary. It's right there in the street. So it's no wonder that this would happen in a country like this. But I will say what's interesting about the Chinese system is, unlike a lot of other countries, it's the nature of their command economy. It's the nature of their state that only in China could they shut down 40 million people like that, right? Only in China could they shut down 40 million people, completely quarantined, shut down all information getting out, build a hospital in 6 days, you know. So on the one hand, it's like there's a lot of bad stuff in China that's irresponsible and leads to things like this. But it also should be considered for our own, you know, consideration that in a Chinese system like they have with their government that has as much power as it does, look at what they're capable of. You know, I would say that in the United States, could anybody conceive of us building up a 1,000-bed hospital in 6 days? Can you even imagine that? Can you even imagine that as a possibility? That in the United States, you could break ground and 7 days later have a fully built hospital like that in 1 week. It's inconceivable, right? Or that the government could completely, if necessary, quarantine an entire city like New York or Chicago or whatever. It's unfathomable. So, no, that's not to say that, you know, everything that the Chinese government is doing is great. It's not to say that, I mean, this is all their fault and they were not able to contain this. So for however much of a marvel it is that they're able to do these things, it's like, well, kind of a day late and a dollar short. But in any case, I do look at that with a little bit of envy, like, wouldn't it be something if in the greatest country in the world, whatever, America, we could build up infrastructure like that. We could move quickly on action items like this in the event of an emergency, something of this magnitude. So I did have sort of a parting thought when I was reading about this, that damn, they're able to build it that quickly. That's really something. But I don't know how much that'll be worth if their entire population dies, right? If their entire population catches a virus, and you know, it'll be probably not very worth it in the end if that's the result. So we're watching this coronavirus. We'll sort of see how it develops. You know, as I've been saying for the longest time, I don't think we could trust the public officials. I don't think we could trust the United Nations, the World Health Organization, the Chinese government. If it were really that bad, would they tell you? Would they get on a press conference and tell you, okay, like the world's ending, everyone's going to get it? I don't think they would. Now, that's not to say that everyone's going to get it. That's not to say that it is as bad as that or something. But it is to say that if it were that bad, they wouldn't tell us, right? So either it's not that bad and they're telling us it's not that bad, or it is that bad. And either way, they'd still be telling us it's not that bad. So that's something to think about when you look at these numbers, when you look at the panic. You know, don't listen so much to what they're saying, which is it's not a global emergency. You have no reason to be concerned and so on. Look at the precautions they're taking, which is, you know, shutting down all outbound flights out of a city that's several multiples the size of London. They're quarantining 40 million people, right? I mean, to me, that speaks to the severity of the problem. And, you know, we don't know what this virus could mutate into or what it is already. We don't know the scope and scale of those infected or the casualties. We just kind of have to hear what the government says and maybe work around that with what else we see from on the ground and everywhere else. But it's got me a little bit nervous. And, you know, as I've been saying, even if it's not this one, this kind of thing will come eventually. So in my opinion, it's always better to be safe than sorry. Always better to be on the safe side. You know, this is me reminding you once again to wash your hands. Wash your hands. I can't get over this, how some people don't get it. Probably all the people who watch my show get it. But it's so simple, you know, before going out, after going out, in between, you just got to wash. That's like the easiest thing you can do. And keep your immune system strong, you know, get good sleep, take your vitamins, all that. Because one of these days, it's going to happen. One of these days, the big one will arrive. And if you're not prepared, well, you know, you'll be one of the body bags. You'll be one of the mass graves. That might sound dark, but it's very true. I'm a big believer in this kind of thing. You know, it's not going to be long before there is a super bug that develops. And maybe it's not this one, but it will come. And when it does, it will spread. It will have a high mortality. It will transmit at a high rate. And they will not be able to contain it. That will happen probably within our lifetimes. And we're due for one. You know, when was the last time there was some kind of crazy epidemic? SARS, MERS were pretty mild in comparison to things that have come before. Spanish flu, something like that. You get a particularly bad strain of flu, game over, right? So that's just something to keep in mind. When you see all this stuff, it's like, hey, good thing it's not this time, but what happens when it is? So that's what's going on with the coronavirus. It has now spread to my native Chicago, so I will no longer be leaving my house. I think we'll just be relying on Uber Eats and you know, other things like that, other delivery services to get by. I don't know. It's got me a little bit apprehensive. Certainly not going to be eating at a Chinese restaurant anytime soon. But that's the coronavirus. We are going to move on and take a look at our super chats. And we'll see what you guys are saying. We'll start on D Live, and then I'll read what you guys have posted in Entropy. So I'll start on D Live, Ninjaginis, Ninjets, and then we will move on to the Entropy stuff. So let's see what we've got here. American Revival says coronavirus also hit Texas A&M. Look out, Groypers. Yeah, maybe that was Dan Crenshaw's revenge, right? Dan Crenshaw made one phone call to his handlers, and they brought it to Texas A&M. They're punishing the Groypers. Cool Blue says, what childhood memories always cheer you up, King? I don't know. That's kind of a sappy question. This early on in the show. This early in the show, I don't know if I'm ready for that just yet. Childhood memories that cheer me up. I don't know. The more that I think about the childhood, the more that it reminds me of my mortality. So it's kind of hard to be cheered up. You know what I mean? So it's sort of bittersweet. Thinking about my childhood, on the one hand, it's like, you know, what a great time. That was amazing. But on the other hand, it's like, I'll never return to tradition. I will always be moving further away from it. Memories fading away, perhaps completely, and you know, one day it'll all come to an end. So in that way, when I think about my childhood, it just sort of makes me anxious. But I don't know. Let me think. Is there anything that really stands out as particularly good? I don't know off the top of my head. This is kind of a tough one. Armenian Groyper says China number one. Yeah. Minnesota Groyper says Minnesota has two possible cases of Zhu flu. I'm praying for all my kings out there. Yeah, pray that you don't get infected by Kathy Zhu. If you see Kathy Zhu, stay away. Don't let her touch you. Don't let her cough on you. Artichoke says you haven't experienced multiculturalism until you have been in public and had to listen to a Hispanic child watching obnoxious Spanish cartoons on an iPhone full blast with apathetic parents. You know, unironically, that is, there's a lot to that. The idea of the Hispanic children in tow with the apathetic and inconsiderate family, you know, parents. There is a lot to this. If you visit any mall, virtually any mall in America, you will experience this. You will experience the, you know, the dozen children in tow, loud, running around, obnoxious, carrying on, and the parents completely apathetic. You know, I've seen this in a million places. So, yeah, that's very true. There is a lot to this, particularly if you're on the West Coast in a major city. Go to a shopping mall and see, you know, children climbing on top of things, running, yelling, carrying on, and the parents watch on. Yeah, there's definitely a lot to that. English Bookcraft says, I'm an Anglo-American in Italy, and yes, meds don't like milk. Well, I'm not trying to be like a med or anything. I just don't like it. You know, everybody... I said I don't like milk, and everybody turned it into this big thing on Twitter. I literally found tweets where people were saying, oh, well, Nick went on this anti-milk rant the other day. Anti-milk rant. I said I don't like milk. For crying out loud, I said, yeah, well, I just don't like the taste of it. He went on an anti-milk rant. Nick is counter-signaling milk. Nick's cult is against milk now. It's like, what? You know? So I didn't say that because I'm like, I'm a proper med. I don't drink milk. I just don't like the way it tastes. You like milk, you don't like milk, whatever. I like chocolate milk. It's great. It's delicious. Tastes sweet. I'm an American. I like the sugar component. But for crying out loud, Groiper Lee says, hey, big guy, was hoping to get a birthday check for my Yankee cousin, Evan. So long, partner. Well, yeah, happy birthday to Evan, the Yankee. It's good to see that he's got some Southerners that care very much about him. Nice to see. No e-girls with a emoji, and he's got a mask on, presumably to protect him from coronavirus. That's very wise. English says, want to say something meaningful, but only 50 characters. Yeah, true. He says, I know Nick is dying to hear what I have to say. Yeah, I am just dying to hear your hot take. It's too bad there's only 50 characters. SP says, Spencer claimed his Greco-Roman phase was just toga parties. You think there's more to it? I know there's more to it. Greco-Roman phase. Yeah, I was certainly just about the togas and nothing more. Certainly. No e-girls says, hashtag never e-girls, not even once. Yeah, thank you. Artichoke says, Hispanic DUI slaughters are a major problem in LA. Two hit and runs, they don't care. Save us, someone. Yeah. They're not known to be terrific drivers. The DUIs, the hit and runs. Yeah, that's very true. Soviet Henry says, yo, Nick, what to do about femoids in chat? Ignore them. I don't know why everybody always makes a big deal. Nick, femoid in chat, femoid in chat. It's like, you don't get it. You have learned nothing. The whole thing about no e-girls is not like to be an idiot, okay? It's to be indifferent. Nick, look at this e-girl. Hey, Nick, patrol this dot. Hey, look at her. Okay, retard, you're giving her what she wants. She ordered that attention, and you're giving it to her. So, no e-girls means just completely ignore. Completely, just like, as if you don't see them. They are in your peripheral vision. They don't exist. Nick, femoid in chat, look at her. Look at what she's posting. That is exactly what they want. You're playing into their hands. You're playing into their hands, exactly. That is their plan. Was getting Thought Patrol part of your plan? Of course. So what's the next step of your master plan? Monopolizing this show. And then everybody's talking about them. Yeah, there you go. MS, the zombie outbreak maps look exactly like demographic change maps. Starts in the city and spreads out. Oh, you mean things that are not real? That's a really great analogy. Nick, it's just like a zombie outbreak. Oh, you mean that thing that's not real? Nick, it's just like in Star Trek. Some of these super chats, man, I just can't do it. Can't do it anymore. Nick the Brick says, Esoteric Kanye stream tonight? I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. Justin Nicker says, Normies called, shut in neat, will rain post virus. That's right. That's right. Wages will die. Students will die. Everybody that leaves their homes, the homeless. You know, it's about time. they will perish. And who will inherit the earth? You know, I think it was maybe a mistranslation of the Bible. They did not say the meek, they said the neat. Mistranslation, it was a typo. The neat shall inherit the earth. Because all these people that are outside, they will die. They will die. They will perish. And who will remain? Who will survive? Who will survive in World War III? The neat will emerge. They will emerge from the basement, survey the wreckage, survey the ruins, and we will build back our civilization. 300 Spartan says, econ class is one-third Asian, one wearing a mask today. Well, to be fair, they're always doing that. When I was at Boston U, they were always wearing these masks. They've just always got something going on. Mike Rose says, does casual Friday mean go off again? Yeah, I think I went off. Adrenochrome says, Tucker just did a beatdown on Goldman Sachs. Diversity for thee, but not for me, verbatim. Yeah, Tucker's red-pilled. He knows all the relevant facts. He gets it. But that's pretty based. Based Dollar says maybe Wuhan just needed a new hospital, right? Maybe they just, you know, it was just time for a new hospital. Certainly nothing to be concerned about. 300 Spartan says, coronavirus death toll, 6 million. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Meme number check. He said 6 million. Ha ha ha. This is the part where you laugh. This is the part where you laugh. Ha ha ha. Chef Big Dog says, Armenian gifted me a sub. Now I must gift subs. Well, thanks to Armenian. Thanks a lot. Lenny says, welcome to the year of the rat. Yeah, we are fully inside. Base Dollar says, you didn't sleep well? Honestly, do you even own an alarm clock like us wages? I do, but it doesn't really work. I just kind of get up when I need to. But I never sleep well. I'm tortured. I always have been an insomniac ever since I was a baby. My mom tells me that when I was a baby, I would just not sleep. And the only way that I would sleep is if she would like put me on a swing and push me in a swing outside. It was the motion, driving me or in a swing. That was the only way I would be able to sleep. But otherwise, and I could never. Even when I was a baby, I used to jump out of my crib when I was like 2 years old. I think even before I could walk, I would like get up in the crib and hoist myself over and like fling myself over the edge. And the doctor said that my parents just had to buy me a bed because I would keep doing it and I would like break my arm. If I kept doing that, you know, jumping out of the crib, eventually I'd hurt myself. So, you know, my entire life, I haven't been well rested 1 minute of my entire fucking life. Just like Joker. You want to know something? I haven't been well rested 1 minute of my entire fucking life. I used to think my life was, I don't know, it's not really applicable beyond that, but. So I've never been well rested. I've always been a little bit on edge. Always been a little bit off the goop. Maybe something snapped right at the beginning. I don't know. Young Groiper says, love you, Nick. Have a good weekend. Thanks, you too. Peach Crayon says, love the show, Nick. Thanks. Mr. Meemster says, great show, Nick. Congrats on taking the honk pill. Yes. Thank you, fellow honkler. John Folks says, about to go blanky mode to watch the movie Contagion. My favorite part is when Gwyneth Paltrow dies. You're all relating. Well, thanks. Or you didn't compliment me in this one. So no thank you. I guess thanks for the Ninjagini, but that sounds fun. Blanky mode in a movie. Blanky mode, movie night, and a snack. What could be better? What could be better than this? What could be better than going cozy blanky mode, watching a movie? You got a snack lined up. Maybe it's candy. Maybe it's popcorn. Maybe it's both. Maybe it's French fries, milkshake, ice cream. Maybe I'll do that tonight. Maybe instead of slaving away behind this desk with another esoteric Kanye stream, maybe I'll just go comfy mode, take a load off, you know, wait out the pandemic with a milkshake. Ooh, that sounds good. Milkshake, McDonald's fries, and maybe I'll watch Joker. Maybe I'll watch something else for once. But yeah, Contagion, pretty good movie. My favorite character in that movie is Jude Law, the fearmonger on the internet who's telling everybody, you know, about this fake cure and all this. Pretty good stuff. Spurts says, is wintertime self-employment as cozy as I imagine? Wintertime self-employment. I don't know what you mean by that. Why would that be cozy? Well, because you don't have to leave the house? I'm not really sure what you mean. It's not really that much of a cozy winter because it's really not that cold out, you know? So the winter is usually cozy because it's snowed in or it's so cold, excuse me, that you're trapped inside. Is there blood on my shirt? How did that happen? A little bit of blood on my shirt. What's going on with that? Am I bleeding? I think my finger was bleeding earlier. I don't know what happened. Anyway, so usually it's comfy because it's like you can't go outside, so you got to stay indoors and get cozy and everything, but it's, you know, it's kind of not even that cold anyway. I don't know how that happened. I guess I was buttoning my shirt. I think it's originated from my finger. Whatever. Problems, right? I'm secreting some kind of infected fluid from my body. Let's see. I'm secreting the coronavirus right now. Base Dollar says, femmes aren't creative. They do everything to conform. Exactly. They just have a different intelligence than men. I've been coming up with this theory for a long time, which is that women's intelligence is just qualitatively different than men. And in certain areas, they just don't have the capacity to think the same way that men do. That's not to say that women cannot be intelligent. It's simply to say that their intelligence is different from men's. You know, men innovate. I don't think women innovate, really. Men take risks, and women do not do that. You know, when it comes to ideology or methodology or anything like that, that's why there's really not a lot of female inventors or female scientists. They're not aggressive. They do not take initiative. And also when it comes to like decision making, they tend to be better at tasks than decision making. So, you know, it's just a qualitatively different intelligence. You know, people used to say in 2015 about intelligence that, well, I heard this all the time. Well, men's intelligence tends to cluster around dumb and smart. Women are in the middle. It's not merely a quantitative comparison. It's not merely a measure of IQ, which would be, you know, like processing power, which would be like cognition capability. It's something more than that. It's not simply that men tend to be geniuses or retarded and women are in the middle. It's not even a question of the number or the quantitative difference. It's the qualitative nature of the intelligence. It's qualitatively different, the capacity, different kinds of intelligence, different kinds of thinking, you know, that is very different. And that's why you don't have women geniuses, women that are divinely inspired in the arts or anything like that. You know, who are the great composers, artists, philosophers, scientists, mathematicians, chess players? I mean, you go down the list, there's I don't think you could find a single remarkable woman, and that's not an accident. And it's not saying they're dumb. They're not dumb. It's just that their intelligence is different. It's a different capacity to serve different ends. So yeah, I agree. The Mayo Man says, any amendments you'd like to repeal? Yeah, a variety of them. Armenian Groiper says, reroute all flights from China to Israel for emergency medical treatment. I heard they have the cure. Yeah, I think that sounds legitimate. The Israelis are pretty smart, so maybe they can fix them up. Echo 4 says, HR ladies in my office blatantly ignore dress code. Sounds brutal. Blackpilled again. Harris Walker says, I am so competent and strong. Stop oppressing me. Yeah, that's always how it is. It's always women are these brilliant, amazing geniuses, and they're so creative, and, you know, they're so off the wall. That's what I can't stand is they have, in all the movies, they have this quality of being like, they thought of something that a man just didn't think of. You know, they've got this sort of, they're sort of rough around the edges, you know? They just don't do things the way that all the men do. You know, where they're like, I'll prove you wrong. I'm going to do it a different way. And all the men are like, you can't do it that way. This is how it's always been done. And they're like, nope, I don't think I will. I'm going to do it my own way. And they have this twinkle in their eye. You'll just see. I'll prove the whole world wrong. Never. It's never happened. In the history of mankind, that has never happened. It has never happened. I've never met anyone like this before. I've met women that break down because, like I said, like they can't finish their homework on time. Women break down because they get a bad grade on their test. Women break down for a variety of reasons. You know, they can't buy tickets to a concert. Women break down because you don't like their outfit or their hair. You know, these are the people that are going to, I'm going to change the world. I am a bossy little bitch and I'm going to change the world. I'm a little girl. I'm a little 13-year-old girl and I know more than they do. No, you don't. Shut up. Shut the fuck up. You don't know what you're talking about. Okay. Sorry for the language, but that's very true. I'm so competent and strong. Stop oppressing me. They're just such geniuses. If we could only just get out of their way, they would change everything. If these stupid men would just get out of their way. And it's so funny because in every like exposition of female disparities in these things, they talk about really how women are timid. Timid. You know, they talk about how like women are not doing as well in schools because they're afraid to raise their hands. You know, these women are just so fucking tough. Except for when they're like too afraid to raise their hand in class because they might be wrong, you know? Really? They're so tough. They're like made out of steel, man. Women are strong too. But we just have to like, hey, Cindy, did you have a question? I know you didn't want to raise your hand because you were afraid of being wrong and, you know, people would judge you, but you have something to say, you know? It's no wonder we have to treat them like children. It's because they are childlike. That's the characteristic of women, is they're childlike. And that is how they should be regarded. Anyway, Max, we've gone off enough on that question. It's just like it's like the most misunderstood thing. The most misunderstood. Nobody gets it. Nobody gets it. Some people get, you know, because some people are on this like anti-feminist thing, but I'm the real feminist. And some people are on this, you know, well, women are softer than men, but they should still be equal. But people just don't get the fundamentally different. At a foundational level, they are different. And people don't understand that. They just can't wrap their thick heads around this. Anyway, Max says, every country run by a woman goes to shit. Yeah, for real. Interdimensional says, tell DLive to increase username character limit. Okay. Snooze God says, what's up, my digger? Digga. Yeah, well, hello, my fellow construction worker. I am digging on the site. I am a digger. I dig. I am here to dig. Hello? It almost sounds bad just to say it, but even though it's not. Base Dollar says, digger. Is that what they're saying now? Base Dollar says, coronavirus found in Minnesota. Surprise. Sample sent to CDC. Yeah, big shocker on that one. Fool says, mustache more like womb broom. Okay, gross. John says, about to pry open the manhole outside my house and raid it for all the goodies inside. Yeah, there's lots of good stuff in there. Lots of cooking oil, I hear, down there. Fiery Tyrant says, keep up the good work, Nick. Thanks. Rhode Island says, to heal, you must properly pronounce the letter L. That's pretty funny. IDK says, top 5 Kanye songs. I was literally asked this like 3 days ago, so I don't know if I'll answer again. What did I say? I said Runaway, Devil in a New Dress. I like I Wonder from Graduation. There's so many. I like Last Call from College Dropout. I like Streetlights and Paranoid from 808s. I like, what else? On Sight from Yeezus, Bound 2 from Yeezus. Black Skinhead, I like 30 Hours. I like Father Stretch My Hands, Part 1, Highlights. White Dress, there's just a lot of good ones, so it's can't really narrow it down to 5. Fool says, Accidental Double Diamond, have a third. Ah, thank you. Base Dollar says, Nick likes his milk dark. Okay, well, that's one way to say it. Faye Christian says, it's important to practice good hygiene, at least if you want to run with my team, says De La Funky. Okay. Fool for Christ says, strawberry milk or not? Chalky milk is greatest of all time. No, I've never had strawberry milk, so I don't know. National Chauvinist says, what lengths will the CCP go to stop the virus? I don't know, but I'm very excited to find out. Garuzis says, we. Okay, Monday Night says, gives me the neat bucks. Yeah. Dimitri says, oop. Okay, Based Groip versus China dying in your... And you're raffing. Okay. That's insensitive. Nose Out says, why is China worrying about 1,000 people with the coronavirus? There's 1 billion more of them. I don't get it. Oh, I guess, yeah, there's more of that came from, I guess, yeah. J-Tabe says, my AP Gov class is 23 people, not one woman. Yep. many such cases. Armenian Groypers is your Joker take is spot on. No cinematographer has three separate clocks with the same time by accident. Yeah, I will credit that to Jeff, the Twitter poster. I think he's the one that pointed that out to me initially. Monochrome says Resident Evil is 70% off on Steam. Very epic. Ah, very nice. Justin Nicker says the normies will be called. The shut-in neats will inherit the earth post-pandemic. Yeah, can't wait. I'll be roaming the streets, trash everywhere, corpses littering the sidewalks, mass graves with my fellow Minecraft pals. Snooze God says, Papa John predicted this day of reckoning. Yeah, this is what Papa John talked about. Zomer says, hey, King, you didn't mention the March for Life. I mean, is there anything really newsworthy about it? Tips, I mean, on one hand, it's like, well, Trump spoke there for the first time, but what is there really else to say? Tips Menorah says, someone called, there's a lot of things I don't mention on a day-to-day basis. Tips Menorah says, someone called the cops, this man is being too based. Yeah. Shut it down, says the eternal female, the eternal awful, affluent white female liberal with her necklace and her wine glass. Shut it down. Snooze God says, shit. Catholic Jack says, thoughts on traditional Latin mass? It is good. Okay, let's take a look at entropy. What do you want me to say to something like this? Thoughts on traditional Latin mass? It's based. What else do you want to hear from me? Snoopers says, two reported cases of the virus in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Kathy Zhu, literally gamer girl, bat-watered her school. Yep. Kathy Zhu, she poisoned the well. Yamato says, which is more cringe, the British Empire or the American Empire? Well, America doesn't really have an empire, so, you know, people say American Empire. It's like, that's really a misnomer. Phil B. spoke to a medical friend. Viruses that are able to spread far are usually weaker, and in the unlikely event you do get it, it will only be fatal to older or ill people anyway. Yeah, that seems legitimate to me. Jay Wren says, have you heard the siren song voice on the Daughter of Albion girl, e-girl? She mentioned you as well. You'll have to stuff wax in your ears and tie yourself to your ship mast like Ulysses. I think you mean Odysseus. Daughter of Albion. I'll have to cover my ears lest I be... Yeah, I'm sure. I'm not like you, okay? I'm not a simp. I'm not a coon for e-girls like you. Simps be like... Nick and E-Girl said your name. You gotta be careful of this one. You're gonna fall in love with her, man. She's got this siren song. Yeah, give me a break. I wasn't born yesterday, man. Blast beat a pile. I think I'll do just fine. Oh, a based E-Girl that said my name. Oh my gosh. I'm weak. Give me a break. What are you taking me for? Do you know how long I've been doing this? You weak. Pussy. I'll be fine, all right? Okay, sorry for the language. Gotta chill out a little bit. E-girl said my name. E-girl said my name. Hi. You're amazing. You're beautiful. Please. If anything, the pandering to me only makes me angry. If anything, it just makes me furious. So, Blastbeat says, yeah, if any e-girl that was trying to get my attention was the end for Nick Fuentes would have been over a long time ago. Let me just put it that way. Blastbeat Apologist says, do freight trains roll through your town? If so, did you ever watch them go by? Yeah, freight trains run through my town. I think that happens everywhere. I don't know if that's supposed to be a meme or something. I do enjoy watching them. I actually occasionally do enjoy catching a train. If I don't have to go somewhere, I actually like catching a train. If I'm just like, because I often do just go on a night drive and just drive around town. My favorite thing to do. I do like to catch a train. When it's, especially in the summer, it's summer, the top down's on the convertible, it's nice weather. You turn up the music, you just park and just kind of chill and you watch the train go by. Yeah, so I do enjoy that. Let's see. But I don't know if that's a meme or something. Joshua says, hi, Nick. Next time you take a vacation or just travel, please don't let Kathy Zhu watch Albert for you. I just got a bad feeling about it. Yeah, I definitely will not entrust her with Albert's life. Mark says, would you prefer if America became Alabama or Maine? Maine. Easily, I would prefer it become Maine. I actually quite like New England and the Northeast in general. I like it. That's why I went to school there. I didn't even really go to school in Boston because I liked the school. I went there because I like New England. I like the, you know, being by the sea. I like the sort of New England architecture, the culture. I love it up there. I like the forest. It's really something. I love that it's like forested and it's sort of rural up there in some parts. It's very nice. So I'm very wild about like Boston and that whole area. And I went up to Manchester to campaign during the election. Manchester was incredible. I've never been to Maine, but I assume it's somewhat similar. So definitely Maine. I've been to Alabama. I have not been to Maine, but I've been to New Hampshire. And I will tell you, I will take the Northeast any day of the week. Oz says, Paul Joseph Watson has been using your clips in what seems like every video, man. Do you think he's grifting off your popularity, or do you think he's doing it in good faith? Props from Australia. I think he's doing it in good faith. I like Paul Joseph Watson. And I said this before. I think he is one of the only people. I don't know if I said this on the show. I've said this privately, I think. He's one of the only major personalities that's really evolved since 2016. A lot of the major players from 2016, they're just stuck in the same thing, you know? Stuck in the same takes, the same ideas. It's like they're a time capsule from 2015 and 2016. Paul Joseph Watson, if you watch his videos, he's the only one that's not pushing the same like dogmatic anti-SJW takes, anti-skeptic takes. You know, when he's making videos about e-girls or whatever and he's incorporating elements of my show, I think it's because if you look at across the board, he's using videos from Panther Den. He's using a lot of different things. He's addressing things that we're talking about. And he was very fair during the Groyper Wars. You know, he did a 10-minute video during the Groyper Wars about what we were saying. He covered it on his website, Summit News. So honestly, I think he's just one of the better alt-light people, if you could call him them, that there is. I'm not, you know, and I don't think we've ever talked before, but I tend to regard these developments as positive. If they're using my content, by all means, that's a good thing. That means that, you know, if they're using our clips, that means that they see some insight in what we're saying. We reach a bigger audience. So I actually appreciate that he's sort of sharing the message, sharing what we're doing, sort of giving a voice, amplifying a lot of what we're saying on Twitter. So I think he's a lot more based probably than he lets on. So I think he's cool. Jay Wren says, and you know, look, some people are, you know, maybe they don't agree with us on everything, but I respect that he's fair, you know, that he's not, because a lot of these fags just like completely disassociate. I'm not going to name any names, but there are some people that make their whole brand, I'm edgy, I'm an edgelord, I'm a punk. Well, maybe you know what I'm talking about. I'm punk, whatever. And they will totally disassociate. They don't want to say my name, be caught in the same room, whatever. And it's that I detest more than anything. So, you know, that he's even showing the videos, like, you know, he's kind of going out on a limb with that. So that he's not being gay and disassociating and like, oh, that's the bad guy. Nick Fuentes is a bad guy. What he's saying might be cool, but he's beyond the pale. You know, Cernovich does this a lot. He does these sort of like, you know, extremely safe. And don't get me wrong, I appreciate he's defended me on a few occasions, but he does these like extremely safe takes where he's like, Nick's jokes are disgusting. But he does make a good point. And it's like, you know, I could do without the first part. So I like people that are not going to do these gay disavowal games, not play the same, like, linguistic control game of, like, you know, I think it's terrible, or I think he's evil, but, you know. So that he's doing that, I think, is admirable. That's where I come at it from. That's my perspective. Jay Wren says, enjoy the culinary superiority over Orientals while it lasts. In 50 years, the Chinese will be making fun of us for living off Soylent Green crickets. You think it'll be any different for them? They're eating sewage. I think, you know, look, I don't know if they will be that much far ahead of us. Even if we get reduced to crickets and bugs and everything, it's like, okay, well, so now we're equal. Shinny says that America First compound doesn't sound like a bad idea anymore. Maybe it will be a good way to ride out this Zhu flu plague. Yeah, maybe happening. Who knows? Maybe this year. Maybe there's a compound. Look, all I can say is trust the plan. Like, you know, I feel like Joker sometimes. Just like, you wouldn't get it. I just laugh to myself at the plan. You know, it's like me laughing to myself hysterically. And, you know, all these people in the comments...
you know, what's so funny? Just thought of a joke. And they're like, mind telling me what it is? You wouldn't get it. You know, that's me. I'm sitting in the chair. I'm just laughing my ass off. What's so funny? Especially with the events of the last so many weeks. What's so funny? I'm laughing. I just thought of a joke. You wouldn't get it. Let's just say things are in the works. There's a plan. That's like the pole prophecy. A plan that was made long ago. It'll happen when the weather cools, you know? Soon, oh, you'll see. Soon you'll see everything. And you'll say to yourself, wow, so I'll just, America First Compound? I don't know. I don't know, maybe. Dan Pelosi says, any chance of having the CPAC meet up on a weekend day so the wages can come? I know that the conference is usually Thursday through Saturday. Shudders in fear of verbal beating for asking such a question. We are announcing very soon. We are doing an event for CPAC. It's going to be very exciting. It's going to be a really good event. Much different than GLS. You know, GLS was kind of casual and it was the usual suspects, but this thing's going to, it's a lot of you guys are going to be very excited by it. Not just, you know, the speakers, but also, you know, the event itself. I'm really excited about the venue and everything that we're doing for it. And we're announcing that soon, I think, probably like next week at the very latest. We're like making the flyer. Everything's confirmed. We just need to sort of iron out some of the details. But it's going to be announced soon. I'll have more information for you next week on that. Maxie Stoneman says, according to Milton Friedman, Goldman Sachs should be going out of business, right? Because discrimination is unprofitable, right? Yeah, exactly. Isn't that what they told us? Isn't that what they say? The system that knows so much, you decide. Okay, I need to get help. I need to see a professional, you know. Pretty soon this whole show is just going to be the Joker script, right? But that's what Milton Friedman used to tell us. Firms that discriminate would be punished in the market. Because if a firm discriminates, people would stop buying from them. If a firm discriminates, well, other people would hire the competition. Yeah, okay. Okay, Milton Friedman, who is Jewish. Yeah, for sure. Yamato says, when you look at which groups are net taxpayers and which ones are a net burden on the tax system, you start to realize why they call it the white man's burden. Yeah, that's very true. R.A. says, seems like the best way for normal people to get around Goldman Sachs memo is to join a frat and have a Greco-Roman phase during rush. Yeah, I guess you could just claim, hey, well, I'm not. Well, hey, I may be a white man, but I had a Greco-Roman moment. Okay, diverse, right? Philip Fry says, you know who else didn't like milk? The Full Metal Alchemist. And you know how tall he got? Well, that's all I'll say. I don't know what that is. I think that's an anime, right? Peter Scully says, wow, this one's racist. I'm not going to read this one. Polish American says, that guy's banned, by the way. Polish American says, hey, Nick, I'm coming out as gay. Thoughts? That's pretty based. I support you. Okay, thank you, Peter Scully, for that one. Studio IKN, so Shapiro aside, is there anyone you're currently interested in debating? Yeah, Charlie Kirk, Ben Shapiro. Who else? Whomst else? Benny Johnson, Dave Rubin, really anybody from that like intellectual dark web, Turning Point. Philo says, regarding your opening monologue, you forgot to mention the hidden figures that put white men on the moon. You should always consider women when you think about logical problem solving. Okay, yeah. Actually, you forgot this other thing. Oh, thanks. You're a part of it too. Congratulations. Great Lakes Nationalist says, China and the West are in a dance of doom. Their cheap manufacturing dominance in our retail economy, culture of consumerism. That's why the oligarchs will tolerate a very high casualty count. House of Cards. Yeah, there's a lot of truth in that. Bob Sakamano says, I've literally seen women cry over not receiving a compliment that they felt they deserved. Yeah, and that is our real life experience. But and think about that. Really reflect on that. How much of your worldview is built on assumptions that you have from watching film? That deserves deep reflection. That's one of the things that really changed my worldview, is how I would start to think about some of these dissonant viewpoints, and I'd say, oh, well, what about this like common trope? And the more I thought about it, the more I realized I learned that from media. You know, I think about like Catholic, like think about religion is a good example.
Oh, well, typically religious people are the most intolerant. Where did you get that idea? From media. You know? When you think about, like, going, being a hardcore religious person. Well, you know, the media says that, you know, Christians are the biggest hypocrites. You know, well, what about this stereotype, this generalization that Christians are the biggest hypocrites or Christians are this way? You know, or even about, like, the 1950s. Well, the 1950s weren't all that great because there were a lot of problems back then. According to who? The media? Think about it. Almost every, like, mental blockade, almost every mental barrier to a truly reactionary worldview comes from these unassessed, unquestioned, unconscious assumptions that you have about the world that come from media. Specifically, like, with women, you know? Well, women are great too. Well, where do you see that? Television characters? Well, so-and-so is great too, and blah, blah, blah. It all comes from television. It all comes from movie tropes. You know, the only thing that we have outside of our family and immediate experiences that we know about the world comes from, you know, media. We think that we know so much more about the world than what we actually know, because outside of our experiences, our worldview is supplemented by assumptions given to us, ready-made, digested already by Jewish media people. And they spoon-feed us that. And so you think you're a very worldly person. Why? Because you watch Netflix? Because you watch a lot of movies? People really do believe. They really think they're on something. They think that they are worldly, that they know about people and places and things because they saw it on TV. And they don't even understand that they think they know these things for that reason. They just think they know these things. Oh, well, what about this? Oh, what about that? Well, what about this generalization that you saw in a movie that was written by a liberal in a fictional world? So that is that's a big part of the sort of so-called, you know, I think that, you know, very trite, but that Plato analogy about shadows being cast on the wall, it's very true. It's a world of illusion. Anon says, just saw a kid on one of those leash backpacks. Some effing people, man. Peak bug man. Yeah, pretty depressing. Ben says, sauteed bats with roasted alligator wolf and sewer oil. That's hot stuff. You can get that. Okay, thank you. Peter says, hey, Nick, longtime viewer here. Thoughts on e-girls? I think they're based in a pseudo-underground type of way, like a gesticulative gestalt type of way. Okay, I don't know if you're being funny or ironic, but no, in no way are e-girls based, not in a funny way, not in an ironic way. They are just not based at all. Is that everything? I feel like I'm missing something here. Maybe not. Yeah, okay. It looks like that's all from Entropy. Let's take a look at DLive here. We'll do one last check here, make sure I got everything. Tips Menorah says, OMG, a based e-girl said no knicker ever. Yeah, exactly. Bass guitarist says, what do you think of Tennessee when at Amren? I've been to Tennessee a lot of different times. I've been to Nashville a few times. I've been to Chattanooga. I have been to Gatlinburg. I generally like Tennessee. It's nice enough. I just don't, you know, the South is just not really like my biome. I don't love these like wide open spaces. I will say Chattanooga is probably my favorite city in Tennessee. Was very quaint, really nice architecture, very hilly. I love the topography, but it's just not really my culture. So that's why, like Nashville, me and my friends from DC, we were in Nashville for Politicon, and we had this running inside joke where we kept going to all these different bars where they had live music, and we couldn't stop laughing at the idea of like, oh, that's Nashville for you, live music everywhere you go on, and the music and the food and the live music in Nashville, it's so authentic, you know. We sort of couldn't stop making fun of this, like, you know, this idea of, oh, there's a different, oh, it's different music every night, wow, it's live guitars, this is Nashville, guys, you know, do you know what I mean? This very, like, touristy, sort of gimmicky mentality, so, you know, I generally like Tennessee, but it's just not really my culture. It's nice to visit, you know. Gatlinburg, I was disappointed. It was kind of cool when you went like outside of the main area, but it's like Disney World there. It was sad. All these like attractions and rides and touristy bullshit. And you know, outside of that, there were some cool like you know, like in the Smoky Mountains, and there was some cool, like, you know, if you're situated outside of that, there was some sort of hole-in-the-wall type stuff, but I hated that. Nashville was nice enough, but very, like, yuppified, and Chattanooga was probably my favorite. Let's see. Millsboro says, if driving in the city, stay away from Chinatown. Yeah, good idea. Base Dollar says, like the Northeast, remember the first 5 minutes of the movie Hocus Pocus? That was the good days. I don't know that movie. I don't remember that one. Hocus Pocus. Is that the movie with Allie and AJ, or am I thinking of something else? I am thinking of something else. Yeah, I don't know this movie. Trust E says, hey, Nick, wondering what you did to train yourself to be such an eloquent speaker and a great debater. That's a tough question. Well, for starters, genius. I think it's honestly like genetic. It's high verbal IQ that I mostly probably get, I think, from the Italian side. No offense to my dad's side. Not that they're not smart, but I think it's sort of a Mediterranean thing. It's really an Italian thing. Also, it's practice, you know. Throughout high school, I was doing a Model UN. I was doing speech team for years. So, like, every weekend, I was doing public speaking. Every weekend, I was doing some form of debate, rhetoric, articulating something in that fashion. Literally every weekend. And you know, Model UN in particular, you know, I probably went to, like, 15 or 20 conferences, and it was grueling. It was, like, days at a time. You know, it was all day for the day conferences or 4 days for the weekend conferences. And it was like 12 hours of debate, negotiation, public speaking. And you do that like 20 times in those formative years every weekend. And I think that was a big part of it. And then it's also just doing this show. You know, I wasn't that well. I mean, I had some natural ability when I first started doing this show 3 years ago, but and you got to understand, I've done the show 500 and some times now, 550 if you include all the shows from RSBN. So you do something for like 1,000 hours, right? If you figure 2 hours a night, you know, 600 times, something like 1,200 hours. Well, eventually it's just a matter of practice, muscle memory, that kind of thing. You kind of just get used to it. So, but it helps to be high IQ, helps to have genetics, but practice is a big part of it. Doomer Nationalist says, formerly Nulla, something, just want to say what's up and enjoy your weekend. Well, hey, thanks a lot. Thanks, enjoy your weekend as well. Tips Menorah says, LGBTQ media versus LGBTQ statistics. Yeah, that's another good one. And look at the way they're portrayed in the media. Look at how, if you don't know any homosexuals, what do you know about homosexuals? You only know it from Modern Family, Glee, commercials. And how are they portrayed? They're the comedic relief. Funny, silly, but just like us. Funny, silly, quirky, but just like us. And then you meet them in real life and they're damaged, sick, hedonistic. You know, there's drug problems. There's, you know, problems with their family. Their parents are divorced, whatever. They've got something going on. They're doing, you know, weird bedroom things. It's, you know, not, which is not just having sex with the same sex, but weird bedroom things, volume, frequency, intensity. You know, it's nothing like what you see in media. And it's like that with everything. It's like that with everything. Media portrayal, even like with minorities. You ever seen the show Black-ish? I was watching that show Black-ish. It was so funny to me. It's on like NBC. It's got that black guy in it. I don't know his name. But the show's about this black family, but they're like an upper middle class family. And they're like, well, we're black, but we're not like really black. Anyway, in the movie, they've got like this big family, and the parents are married, and they've got these kids, and they're rich, and the dad's rich, and they've got their extended family living with them, and they're totally normal and everything. And I was watching that one day, and I thought to myself, you know, 75% of black kids are born out of wedlock. So you got this black family on television, and they're married. This is fully one quarter of all blacks in the entire country are like this, you know, and then factor in being rich, then factor in all these other things. It's like, this is not a realistic portrayal of the vast majority of blacks you'll encounter in your day-to-day life. And that's not to say anything other than it's not realistic. That's not to say anything other than media attempts to manipulate your perception based on things that are have no basis in reality about every group, about different places, about our country, about history, and people don't even realize it. People don't even realize that their knowledge is based on these things. Their knowledge, right? Chef Big Ducks says, great show tonight. Thanks, Nick. Hey, thanks, buddy. Gamer Nationalist says, missed the show because I was waging. Here's the bucks. Well, thanks, buddy. Hope you can catch it later. Base Dollar says, I'm leaving for India next week. I'm genuinely nervous. USA is home, safe, ours. Pray for it. Yeah, yes, I'm praying for America for sure. But hey, be safe in India. Make sure to take care of your hygiene. Don't shake anybody's hands, I guess. Do the fist bump. Let's see. We've got a couple more from Entropy, and then I'll call it, I think. DJ Aftershock says, what do you think turned England so blue in the last two decades? Yeah, that's really not really a novel take there. Let me guess. Demographics? Wow. Amazing take. Okay, but it looks like that's our last Super Chat, so that's going to do it for us on the show tonight. Remember to check us out on our email list, NicholasJFuentes.com. Sign up for the email list. I hate shilling it. But that's the only thing that is ban-proof. That's the only thing that they cannot censor me from. They can ban me eventually from everything, and I think they will. YouTube will go eventually. Honestly, I think DLive will ban us eventually. Telegram, all these things. So be sure, we want to build up the email list while I still can, you know? So if I'm accumulating every day, then if it does happen, I'll be able to reach the majority of my people, right? So be sure to sign up for that. It's NicholasJFuentes.com, and you know, I don't sell that or spam or anything like that. You sign up and you won't hear from me until I get banned. So do that. Also, subscribe to my YouTube channel. Give me a big thumbs up. Leave a comment down below. Click the notification bell to get notified every time I go live. Also, subscribe to my DLive channel. Be sure to follow. Follow button's right up here if you're watching on DLive. If you're not watching on DLive, the link is DLive.tv/NickJFuentes. And I encourage you to follow me here because if you follow me here, you're able to join the live chat. So do that. I'll also open the chest. Almost forgot again. I'll open the chest for you guys. I'll open the chest so that gets rolling while I do my outro here. Remember, we are on the air Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Nicholas J. Fuentes. As always, this is America First. Thanks for watching. Thanks to all of our super chatters. Thanks to everybody on Entropy. Thanks to everybody on DLive. Thanks to our top three contributors on Entropy, Based Dollar, Armenian Groiper, Interdimensional Harmony. Particularly to those guys, thanks. But thanks to everybody that donated. Thanks to everybody that watches the show. We love all of you. And I'll see you on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend and have a great rest of your Friday evening.